Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Once the floodwaters in Texas began to recede, researchers at the University of Wisconsin made some news. They declared Hurricane Harvey a once-in-a-thousand-year flood event. And Harvey's extreme floods were not isolated. Forest fires are burning hotter, and the fire season lasts longer in the American West than it used to. Since 1980, there's been a 50-fold increase in the number of places worldwide experiencing dangerous or extreme heat. And the list of weather records around the world continues to grow. And of course, today, with Harvey barely behind us, forecasters are already turning to Hurricane Irma as it approaches the U.S. and threatens Puerto Rico and Florida. For climate scientists like Adam Sobel, central to all of this is the question of actual attribution. How much of an extreme weather event like Harvey can be blamed directly on climate change? Sobel is the director of Columbia University's Initiative on Extreme Weather and Climate. He's also author of Storm Surge. And he says that even though the idea of a thousand-year weather event is a little ambiguous, the data show clear signs that global warming is making the weather more severe and more dangerous.
It's a little misleading because it makes people think that they're going to have to wait 1,000 years for it to happen again, and that's not true. What it means formally is that there's a 1 in 1,000 chance each year of that happening. That said, to really estimate what that means rigorously, you'd have to have many thousands of years of data, which we don't have. But the bottom line is that it's a very rare event. Whether it's really a 1,000-year event, meaning that it had only a 1 in 1,000 chance, is questionable because that assumption assumes a non-changing climate. And as we know, the climate is changing. So it may have been a 1,000-year event historically, but it's likely to be a slightly less rare event than that now, or possibly even a much less rare event.
This gets us then into the inevitable discussion that happens every time. No single weather event can be blamed on climate change.
Right.
But then you start to look at the pattern. So if there are factors in Harvey that you can't necessarily blame on climate change, how do you look at the broader picture and look at the data to know that it is a factor?
So a hurricane can cause damage in several ways by wind, by rain, and by storm surge, which is when the wind pushes the water onto the land. Those are affected by climate in different ways, where the storm makes landfall, the environment that it passes through on the way, and how fast it's moving, and its size and its intensity. In the case of Harvey, the damage was caused by rain. And the rain is the factor that's related to the large-scale climate in perhaps the simplest way of any of the factors that make hurricanes dangerous. As the air gets warmer due to the human influence, there's more water vapor in the air. And hurricanes, like other severe rainstorms, are the ones that are very effective in squeezing out that water vapor and turning it into rain. Now, it's important to say there a couple things about the role of climate change. First of all, it's probably a relatively minor role in the big scheme of things. In other words, Harvey, like every extreme weather event, occurs due to a pileup of random accidents in the atmosphere. Climate change can at most push the odds a little bit in one direction. In Harvey's case, the disaster is so severe because the storm moved so slowly and because it stayed in one place for so long. We don't have any strong reason to think that's related to climate change. So we used to say no single one event can be associated with climate change. It's not quite appropriate to say that anymore. In about the last decade, we have an emerging field called attribution research, which tries to make specific claims about specific events, not just the overall patterns, but to look at individual events like Harvey and say, given that the event occurred, it made it this much more intense. My guess, if I had to guess a number, because I think these studies will be done on Harvey, so I don't want to presuppose them too much, but a number like 10% more rain, you know, would not be a crazy number based on what we understand about the physics of water vapor and climate and hurricanes and rainfall.
There's a fallacy built in here, it seems to me, as we talk about the dynamics of these storms, because we're talking about one storm or four storms. It seems to me the more we focus on Sandy, Katrina, and Harvey, while useful, is one small part of a much bigger picture.
That's absolutely true. I mean, as the climate changes, it affects all kinds of events, and some of them are easier to talk about than others and easier to do attribution studies on others. The rough rule is the more simply a given event is related to temperature, the stronger statements you can make about it. So heat waves are the simplest. Almost any heat wave that happens on the Earth now can be said to be more probable as a result of global warming. Heavy rain events are not quite that simple, but they're not that much more complicated because the relation of water vapor to temperature is pretty basic physics. Now, hurricanes, especially if you're talking about their frequency, to some extent their winds and other characteristics, are a little harder to attribute because they're not related to temperature in as simple a way. Then you can get all the way to something like tornadoes, where there's very little agreement yet among scientists as to how they should be affected by climate change. So there's a sort of a spectrum of what we can say, but I think the extreme events in some sense are the hardest to make the direct connection to, but they're important because they do so much of the damage. So we have to try to make those connections if we want to understand what's happening to the planet.
People in the aftermath of a storm of this size say, we're having this big national debate about climate change. People are suffering. We're recovering. Now's not the time. What do you think about that?
First of all, I think a lot of the people who are saying it's not the right time to have the climate debate are people who don't want to have it ever. You know, obviously, I have nothing but respect and admiration and gratitude for all the first responders and National Guard and FEMA and private citizens who are saving lives, in some cases at great expense and even danger to themselves. Their work is the most important, and they shouldn't be on the radio talking about climate change or even listening to the radio about climate change. But for the rest of us, I think this is exactly the right time. It's the only time the media will pay attention to the issue. We have a government right now in the United States that not only is not interested in the issue and doesn't want to do anything about it, but is actively reversing the few actions that we have taken in recent years. And I think those actions are quite dangerous to all of us in our future. And so this is a moment when people see the potential consequences. And I think one thing that gets lost in this debate when we ask to what extent was this event caused by climate change, there's a mistake in focusing too much on the present because we know which way we're going and we're going there quite irreversibly. In other words, due to the carbon we've already emitted into the atmosphere, we have a bunch more warming to come. And plus we continue to emit it like gangbusters with little control. So we know that the climate change we're going to see is more than we've seen yet. So when we ask about this event and can we say today to what extent is this a consequence of climate change, we're a little bit missing the picture because the policy debate is about where we're going and we know this is the direction we're going and that's why we're so concerned about it. So it's sort of like imagine you're driving someplace and you know you're going to go off a cliff. You know, the question of whether the cliff's around the next corner or the corner after that, you know that you're going there and you probably should turn around. And that's really, I think, what motivates some of us to want to talk about this topic even when the kinds of statements we can make rigorously about the science are still pretty qualified. If we focus on the present, but if we focus on the big picture, the reason for concern is much greater. And I think that's the public debate that motivates us to talk about it at this moment.
Well, Adam Sobel, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to come in and help us understand some of these connections.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Adam Sobel is director of Columbia University's Initiative on Extreme Weather and Climate, and he's the author of Storm Surge.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.